You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Ola, Tom, I see no reason why Dylan Holloway can't be at least a 15 to 19 goal scorer this coming season. Agree? Disagree?
I agree. I'll go with the low end. I'll go 15. I really like, I mean, yesterday was tremendous, and every opportunity he's been given, he's taken it. And yesterday, another example of that. And you're right. You know, I know there's people out there that said, hey, look at the Vancouver Canucks and the lineup that they iced yesterday. It was not strong at all, but he took advantage of his opportunity, and I thought he played good in that game in Winnipeg. He made a great play to Jason Demers. And for a guy that's supposed to be earning a spot on this team, and that was kind of the route he would have to take this training camp, he's done that. He's absolutely done that. And I think there's still one, you know, final test, maybe two left in front of him in this preseason. And Greggs, he may have punched his ticket to a spot on this team and maybe on his way to a 15-goal season plus.
Yeah, Sam. I know everybody... it's preseason. To me, it has nothing to do with preseason. I think Dylan Holloway skates like an NHL player. He sees the ice like an NHL player. And the other thing I look at is Anton Lundell, Seth Jarvis, and Dawson Mercer. Those guys were all taken between 12 and 18. Holloway was 14th in that 2020 draft. And they all scored 18, 17, and 17 goals last season. Now, Lundell and Jarvis were on good teams like Holloway is. Mercer obviously gets more opportunity in a New Jersey team. But either way, if Anton Lundell and Seth Jarvis, who are basically playing third-line minutes, can score that, and, you know, moonlight every now and then, get some time with the top guys, I don't see any reason for Holloway not to. I believe right now he has better hands and better offensive instincts than Jesse Puljujärvi does. He's bigger than Kyler Yamamoto. I think he can easily, split the difference on those two. That's a 17-goal season. Book it. Right now, Dylan Holloway's healthy, scoring 17 goals, minimum.
There's a lot to like. And the goals he scored last night were goal scorers' goals, and he's outplayed both of those two. He's had some looks on the power play. He's had some looks on the PK. That's intriguing. And you know, people have talked about his potential role. People have talked about the role of Kyler Yamamoto. People have talked about the potential role of Warren Fogle, and I'm talking about people from the Oilers, whether it's the coaching staff or management, and Greg's, you know, kind of lost in all of this. There hasn't been a lot discussed about Jesse Puljujärvi's role. It's kind of been shrouded in ambiguity, and that's just through a couple weeks of training camp and being in the locker room and being in the coach's room. You're in those press conferences as well as I am, and we're starting to get a clearer picture here now. You know, JP has a couple of opportunities, at least one more, I'm sure, to also try to restake his claim on this roster.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me is that there's a legit battle now for spots in the top nine. And right now they have 10 forwards who can play top 9 minutes. They all can't do it because there's 10 of them. It's a good problem to have, and I'm curious to see how it plays out. I don't think the next two games will solve it. I think this is going to be one that plays out over the season. It's great because if you're not going well, you're one of those guys, you might find yourself getting some time on the fourth line.
That's a great problem to have. Great problem to have. We'll see if it creates friction. Now, I mean, the other thing, too, is Holloway as a rookie, not to say that he can't continue to maintain the hot hand, but, like, what if his play drops off? Does he get sent down? Is that something that eventually happens? Maybe not. Maybe he just keeps going and going and has a really solid rookie season. A lot can happen. Injuries can play into that, but it's good to have that depth. And it's another thing, too, about this training camp. And you could even make the case on the back end for that, you know, one spot on the left side or the seventh D-man spot. There's guys that are pushing that look like they legitimately can step in and give this team some depth. Something, you know, it has talked about trying to build over time, and it looks like it's finally arrived. And I think that's a great situation to have. And competition like that is fantastic. And let the best players win.
Well, that's what you want. And I think it's going to be ongoing for sure. And then obviously injuries are going to creep in. And you know, for the orders, you know, because a lot of people say, hey, they should make the trade now because they have nine guys and so move one of them. I agree with that because of the salary cap situation. If the orders didn't have cap issues, I wouldn't do it. But because of their cap situation, it's at least something to consider. Do you think the orders and Ken Holland are going to make a trade before the end of October?
I still think they do. I still think they make this move, and whether the saga of JP is over and done with, I think that's still the likeliest scenario. And I know that doesn't make everybody happy because a lot of people like him. But if a Dylan Holloway continues to play the way he has throughout the course of the first season or first month of the season, then I think that some of that noise goes away. And an interesting thing, I saw some reaction yesterday on social media was saying, how come nobody's talking about Kyler Yamamoto and what he isn't doing this preseason? Well, he's made a few plays. He's got time on special teams. He has a role on the PK, and that's why we always end up talking about, you know, JP kind of being the odd man out because he's not on the penalty kill. He gets very limited time on the power play, and I don't think he's had as strong a camp as a Dylan Holloway or a Kyler Yamamoto or even Warren Fogle for that matter. And Greg's, the Oilers have kind of been telegraphing Warren Fogle's role to us in the last couple of weeks. You're going to play the right wing. Well, guess where he's been playing the last few games? Right wing. He's had some offensive success. Yes, last night it was in garbage time, but he was also putting together a decent game prior to that. And then he's also had PK time. So, you know, we're not trying to pick on a certain guy, but, you know, there's some things and indicators that have been laid out there over the last couple of weeks that kind of lead us to this discussion.
Tommy, did you see the hit of the night last night, Bobby Wagner?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Now,
I love
him. What was the I didn't even understand. What was the – was he a protester or was he just a moron running on the field?
Well, I mean, it could be both. And the other one I saw. Yeah, it could be both. But another one was that a gender reveal with the pink smoke bomb? Like,
I don't think so. I can't see how that would be it.
I know. But how it's funny when these guys that run out to the field get absolutely smoked. It's stupid. It's a delay in the game. You end up getting arrested. You end up probably being banned from the stadium for a long time. And it's just, I don't understand it, but a few people here and there bet somebody and they're a few drinks in, more than a few at times. I don't know how he got the pink smoke bomb into the stadium, but to get laid out by a player, I think as soon as you step onto their field or their playing surface, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, you're asking for it. And yesterday was just another classic example of that. So just a dumb getting rocked by Bobby Wagner. And there was a great call on the radio play-by-play for that one, too.
It was quite comical. It's just, like, it's not comical to do that. I just, to me, that's the easy reason to get banned from a stadium. There's no reason to run on the field. Not,
no.
Right? During the play. I know some college teams, after they win, they do it. Not, you know, some places it's allowed, others it isn't, but I guess if it's allowed, fine. But during the course of play, no. I think you should be banned instantly. I have no, you know that. It even says it on your ticket. Like, figure it out. So I've never, that's, like, there's certain things that I just, that's one I never really understood whatsoever. Lastly, Dmitry Samarukov, did he do anything for you last night that moves him up in the pecking order at all?
Moves him up, not necessarily, but impressed me, yes. I like the way he held the line offensively. He seemed to have really good reads, Greg's. He knew when to back off. He knew when to hold it, and he had an opportunity to keep the puck in. I thought the way he handled himself in the defensive zone was pretty solid. He seemed to step up at the right time, get his stick in there, break up cycles a couple of times. His first passes were pretty good yesterday. So I liked his game, and I made a point of watching him more just to get a better idea of where Dmitry Samarukov has come along. Now, I don't think he's taken a spot away from Philip Broberg. I think Broberg had the inside track, and that was kind of telegraphed to us as well. And Philip Broberg had to have a really bad camp to lose his spot. And I don't think he had a really bad camp. He didn't have an overly great one. But I don't think anything changes outside of the fact that when I look at Dmitry Samarukov, I go, you know what? If he gets it to a few games this year, he's going to look a hell of a lot better than he did in St. Louis in that one game where he only had a couple of shifts and got lit up and torched. So I think he deserves another chance at some point. And I think, you know, after what we saw over the last couple of weeks and probably what we're going to see in these last two games, it's going to be him and Markus Niemelainen, depending on what kind of defenseman they want for a call-up, if and when the time comes to make that call for a blue liner. And I think that's another good scenario. So I like the body of work he's put together. He's big, he's solid, and I don't think he looked out of place. I liked what he did last night, and let's see how he does in his final test, if and when he gets it.
Tommy, have yourself a wonderful Tuesday evening. We will chat with you at demain when the Oilers should be facing a much better Vancouver lineup.
And we have a pregame show tomorrow, Greg, 7 to 8.
Ooh, Tommy G, back in the pregame. I like it. There you go. Tomorrow night, right here on TSN 12-6.